Jesus, today we celebrate that you are risen, that you are alive, that you have good things for us, that you have blessings for us. Jesus, we thank you that you have come to save us, to reconcile us to Father God. Jesus, we thank you that you ascended to heaven and mediate on our behalf. Jesus, we thank you for your love, that you loved us even when we were first sinners. God, we thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus, for us. We thank you that you want a relationship with us. And God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that we can celebrate you. We thank you that we can celebrate the victory that you have brought. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, music team. Well, it's been a fun morning, we'll say. Fun morning. It was an interesting morning because I had all sorts of issues with the system, with our network's equipment and our camera equipment, so that was a lot of fun. So if you came in and I looked frazzled and I was looked like I might have been pulling out my hair, I wasn't pulling out my hair, but I was trying to figure it out. We figured it out, so we are thankful for that. Stacy's was praying pretty hard. I could hear her over there trying to figure out what was going on, but we got her, and that's good. I have five less people with me this morning as well, because my kids are all, or our kids, are all with Stacy's mom and dad for the week, and they're going to visit with my mom a little bit. And then my mom should be here next week for Sunday, so that'll be nice to have her down. It'll be her first trip away since dad passed away, which will be challenging, I'm sure. But I wanted to, once again, just thank everyone for the love and compassion we've been receiving over the past, well, I guess month. Today would be 1 month since my dad passed away. And I just thank you all for the compassion and love and the snacks and the treats and the talks and the flowers. And, you know, most people think that I don't like flowers. I love flowers. I'm dainty that way. They're nice. They're nice. I like them. They look cool. So I just want to thank you all, though. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to myself, to Stacy, to our family. So I should have said this. I said it earlier, but he is risen. Come on. Boy, you guys, we got to work on this. I know. We only do it once a year. He is risen. So I'm so glad to have each and every one of you here today, this week. It's exciting to know that our King, our Lord, is not dead. He is alive. He is risen. He has conquered death. He has defeated death on our behalf. Our King, Jesus, did that. And oftentimes, I know talking to people, and lots of people are like I know there's a term for it, but I can't remember what it is. But they go to church on Christmas, on Father's Day, Mother's Day, and Easter. And they when they go to churches those times, oftentimes the message they hear about is baby Jesus, right? And they think, well, how do I relate to baby Jesus? And then when they come for Easter, they come and they hear about Jesus that was crucified and rose again. And it's like, well, how do I relate to that? Like, that guy, he died. He got taken and died. And like, how weak? But our Jesus is not weak. He actually wasn't just taken, but he laid his life down for us. It wasn't you're coming with us. It was, that is I. That's who I am. I am the Lord. I am Jesus when he stepped forward. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. He came for us, and he wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to get to know him. So I want to encourage you that we don't serve a weak Jesus. We serve a Lord, a King. And when we're together today, celebrating today, we're not serving some weak, puny Jesus, Lord, or weak, puny Lord, or weak, puny King. We are serving a victorious and celebrating a victorious King, someone who conquered death and rose again. And we get to know him. And the other, I guess I'll talk about the other people that come on Father's Day and Mother's Day. Oftentimes when we come on Father's Day, and it's lots of times dads, they come on Father's Day, and lots of places like to beat up on their dads when they come. But dads do a better job, dads do this better, dads do that better, dads, you suck. Lots of us have heard probably that message. But we don't do that here. We celebrate our dads. We celebrate the men in our lives, and we celebrate the leadership that men bring and that women bring in our church and our families. Amen? And I think that's exciting because we all have unique roles, and it's exciting to be together and get to do that together. So we're in our series called Foundations, and this idea in particular of being a new covenant church and new covenant believers. And today for our Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, we want to talk about Jesus, because who else would we talk about? So many people understand things about the historical Jesus. They may have read the Bible or heard stories about Jesus, and they know where he was and the Last Supper and where the disciples went and who the disciples were and what he did. They know where Jesus was betrayed and that Jesus or that Judas did it. And they know historical facts that they may have read on the account of Jesus. But it's not the historical Jesus and the account that brings the miraculous gift of salvation into our life, is it? It's the understanding behind the scenes things. It's the things that went on in the spirit realm and what's really going on around us today. A lot of people might say, well, I like Jesus. Jesus is cool. Some people may be weird and say, Jesus is my homeboy. I don't know why you would say Jesus is my homeboy, but I'm older. I don't say homeboy anymore. I don't know if I ever did say homeboy. I don't know if I came from the right neighborhood to say homeboy. But the cross is the absolute foundation for who we are in Christ. And the cross is the very foundation of our faith. Hebrews tells us that because of the cross, we have this new agreement, this new deal in place. And when Jesus went to the cross and he died, the disciples and everything went silent at that moment. They couldn't talk to Jesus, see Jesus, touch Jesus, inquire of Jesus, ask questions of Jesus. He was gone. But he wasn't really gone. And we talked a bit about this a few weeks ago. If you missed the message, you can catch up. I think it was our first message in this series. But in the spirit realm, he wasn't really gone. There were things going on when he died. And he took the sins. Jesus took the sins of the world, and he took the curse of the world on his shoulders. And so when you read the Bible from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it gives us this historical story of Jesus. It gives us a representation of what Jesus did, the miracles that he performed, the travelings of Jesus, the example of what he did for us to follow. From his whipping to being put on a cross, the historical Jesus. But what the church is often unaware of is that there was all this stuff behind the scenes happening. And with Jesus the Lord, Jesus our Savior, what was actually taking place? And this is where we begin to understand the authority and the power of what we have in Jesus and where we can put our faith and what we put our faith in as believers. And when you understand what Jesus did and you believe on it, something remarkable takes place in our lives. That should be an amen there. When we understand what we have in the Lord, what he has brought down and what he has given us, something remarkable, something miraculously should start shaping up, shaking us on the inside, and growing us spiritually, emotionally towards him each day. When we fully understand that, things should change. We should not be the same. We should not be the same as what we were yesterday or before we knew Jesus or when we were born. We should have matured and we should be growing up. When we believe in God's word, something different happens. To believe in God's word, faith is in his word. The God kind of faith that rises up from within us and transforms our lives, doesn't it? And as we grow in the knowledge from the cross to the throne, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the throne, there are some amazing things that happen. And as you see this and as it's revealed to your spirit and you begin to experience God and you begin to sense God in your lives and you begin to step forward and walk in more authority as you understand what you have, you begin to feel and believe and miraculous things begin to happen in your life when you begin to recognize what Jesus was doing on the cross for you and for me. When Jesus died and he went to hell in our place, we don't have to go to hell because Jesus went to hell in our place and he defeated Satan. Jesus went on the cross and he said things like, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he became sin. He took the sin of the entire world on his back, and he took it to hell with him. Every place you would ever break the law or sin, in the past, maybe today, and in the future, God knew about it. And it was nailed to the cross with Jesus. And he went and he died and he went to hell. And it was there that he literally defeating sin. He was defeating death. He was conquering death. He was defeating the curse. And all the curses that were on, he was defeating the curse of the law. He was doing that for you and for me. But when Jesus rose from the dead, that is where victory came. That is where we became victorious. If Jesus just died for your sins and took your sins, you're still in your old life you had before. You just got a clean slate, which is pretty cool, I think, right? You just get a clean slate, and that's cool. And maybe you say, that's great, that's fantastic. Yeah, and I agree, it is fantastic. But there's so much more than that. It gets so much better than that because he rose from the dead. Not only were our sins forgiven and we get this clean slate, but you need to recognize that you died with him. The old you died with him. So the old you is dead and gone. And when Jesus rose again and you and I rose with him, we don't have the same life with the sin gone. We have a new life with the power and the authority and the opportunities that Jesus brought and gave us with Jesus. We have a new life with the power of Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And we need to understand that Jesus is just not my substitute, but there was an exchange that took place when he took my sin and he took my curse and he took my death and I got his life. The Zohe God kind of life like we've been talking about. Isn't that the type of life we want to live? As a gift, we became righteous through his death and resurrection on that cross. Isn't that something we should want to have? It no longer becomes on our righteousness, on my good deeds. It becomes on Jesus on the cross through his death and resurrection and ascension to heaven. That's why I'm righteous. That's what God looks at when he looks at us. It's the righteousness that came from Jesus through his resurrection power. The resurrection Lord, today we celebrate because that is where the power is. I'm going to sound dorky for a second, but Hulk Hogan, does everybody know Hulk Hogan? Even Elaine knows Hulk Hogan. That's awesome. Just made my day. But Hulk Hogan used to have this big yellow mustache, and he'd have, I think it was bleach blonde hair, because when he went to the NWO, I'm going to sound really dorky, he grew a black not shaggy beard, but whiskery, kind of like me after I don't shave for 2 months. Because that's about all I can grow. But he would always like rub his mustache and he'd say something like, this is where the power lies. Well, the power doesn't lie with your mustache or with your beard or with whatever you think your power lies in. Our power lies in the resurrected Lord. That is where the power is. Not the historical Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And too many people believe in the historical Jesus. You know, they know he existed, he walked the planet, he did miracles, he did this and that. But there are other sources and not just, there's other sources within the Bible, not just the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that actually talk about the things that we have today. And people say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But they believe in the historical Jesus rather than the resurrected Lord where the power is. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you only know about the historical Jesus, or maybe that's where you want to base your life around, and that's great. But you have opportunity for so much more power in your life if you start believing on the resurrected Lord, and you start walking with the resurrected Lord. You're missing out on the power and authority that we could be living our life with today if you're not walking and living with the resurrected Lord. And as we understand this resurrected Lord, we start believing on this, the Bible tells us that your life will be transformed. Your life, your mind, your body. But transformation comes from revelation. And there's something about going into the Bible and into God's Word, and the Holy Spirit reveals things to us, and you become transformed. Isn't that how we want to live as believers? A transformed life? A powerful, Zoe, God-filled life. Now, your spirit man, it's transformed all along when you accept Jesus. And when you give your life to Jesus, your spirit man comes alive with the life of Christ. But you still need to renew your mind and make your body a living sacrifice to Him. And as you begin to look at the world, the most important place to start at is the cross. His death, His burial, His resurrection with a new life for us. And then He ascends and goes up to heaven to the throne where He's at the right hand of the Father in a position of authority. From the cross to the throne. See, the cross was a finished thing. It was a done deal, finished. With the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, Satan was destroyed. Not locked up forever, but his power and his authority was destroyed and slammed. And one of Satan's greatest deceptions, and we've talked about this oftentimes here, is that he wants to think that you need to mess with the devil and that he has power over you. Satan, the enemy, is powerless over us. And in the Bible, if you look at the people who were set free from the demonic before the cross, as opposed to how many were dealt with after the cross, there's a big difference. If you look in Scripture, take time to look. Before the cross, there was lots of that happening. There's not a lot of that happening after the cross because Satan was defeated. When Jesus went to the cross, his destruction of Satan's power was complete. It wasn't 95% complete. It wasn't 99% complete. He 100% defeated Satan for us believers today. We don't have to worry about Satan. All Satan can do is try to drop little tidbits in your ear. It's up to us to make a choice if we're going to say, get behind me, Satan, I'm done with you. I don't have to listen to you. You have no power. You have no authority over my life today. I serve a resurrected Lord. That's where the power lies. And too many people... And I've said this before, too. This is really just a recap of everything I've said for the past 3 years. Don't worry. But too many people want to bind Satan from this country, from this town, from a situation. And like I mentioned a few weeks ago, the idea of binding and loosing has nothing to do with the devil. Jesus already did that. It's done. It is complete. It is finished. We base our faith on the finished work of the cross. And it's on the finished work of Jesus, not... If your life is clean enough, good enough, your sin, your failure, if you've dealt with that. When we accept Jesus in our hearts and as our Lord and Savior, it is finished. And we are raised up with a resurrected Lord. The curse has no right over our life because of what Jesus has done. So many people out there think we need to go do a bunch of deliverance ministry to get rid of these devils, but the cross was a defining moment, and we don't need to fight that devil. Maybe he had some authority before the resurrection, but none after, did he? No. After the cross, Satan has no laws to condemn you with. None. Satan has no laws to condemn you with because we are not a function of the law anymore. Colossians 2, 14 and 15 says, having canceled and wiped out the certificate or record of debt consisting of legal demands which were in force against us and which were hostile to us or the rules that I failed to follow in my life. And this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. When he had disarmed, basically he stripped, the rulers and authorities of those supernatural forces of evil operating against us. So this is Satan and the demonic. He made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphant procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. Through the cross. Jesus made a public spectacle of the defeat which he handed Satan and the demonic. He did that so we would know that we have authority and that we don't need to be fearful of that. He was a triumph, like a triumphant general, displaying his captives in a victory parade. And I mentioned this idea before, But I'll mention it again in case you didn't hear it. So if you had a kingdom where you had a terrible king and he went around and his soldiers would pillage other nations, and they would do things to that nation's people, and they would take everything, and every country around them was fearful of this king. And then another king came along, another ruler came along, and destroyed that king and his followers and his army. And what that ruling, conquering new king would do is he would take and cut off the thumbs of the king that he just beat. And he would take and he would cut off his toes. That's weird. But you would cut off the thumbs so you couldn't grip a sword. Because could you? We watch Forge and Fire. Does anybody else watch Forge and Fire? It's kind of fun, right? How do you grip some of those knives and swords without thumbs? You can't. You no longer can be a conquering king. How do you run without toes? Pretty slow. Pretty rough. You'll probably stumble without all your toes. You can't, because that's what provides the balance and the agility and the ability to change directions and trajectory. And the king would show this so that the people wouldn't have to be afraid, that they would know that they do not have to fear this defeated foe any longer. And the Bible's using that example when Jesus died on the cross. Your sin was nailed to it, and everything you would ever do in your life, your entire life from birth to death, was paid for. It was finished with the cross. The sin was paid for. The curse was paid for. And Jesus rose again, and after taking all of your sins, all your curses from the past, present, and future, so that you don't have to live in condemnation. Today, this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, we need to recognize that the devil is not the issue. We need to stop believing that the devil has authority and power over our lives. And we need to see that according to our faith, so be it done to you. So many people want to go into long intercessions to destroy Satan, but we need to realize that the cross changed everything and the enemy is stripped. He has been beaten so badly that he has nothing left but to only try and influence your mind, influence your thoughts. And for some people, some Christians, that's enough. Because they haven't decided to step in fully into faith and walk the blessed life that we are promised and that we read about and we understand as we spend time in His Word. As believers, because of the cross and Jesus' resurrection, we need to know that we need to loose the power of God's Word over our lives. That's what we need to be loosing. We need to be loosing the power and authority of God's Word over our lives. We need to be praying and speaking and declaring the promises of God's Word over our lives while binding the things that are not of God to keep them from coming into our lives. That's binding and loosing that we need to be doing. We need to know that the battle has been won and the victory is with Jesus who rose on that cross for us. When Jesus died on the cross, our sins were paid for. And I know I've said this about 10 times already. But our sins have been paid for right from birth up to the day we die. He knew the things that you and I would do, and He died for them. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren, and the thing is, with Jesus, Satan has nothing to accuse us of. Nothing. Because the old us is dead, and we're in this new Zoe God life that He has given us. You can't hold debts to a dead person. The government might try. But you can't. This is the new you. Jesus paid for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose from you for you. The curse can't come because Jesus paid it. He dealt with the curse. And Galatians 3 tells us about how He dealt with the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So I know that the history of Jesus is so very important to know. But the rest of the New Testament, starting from Acts through the epistles, when we read and we know it and we understand the background and the purpose for things and the authority that we can walk in, the customs that Jesus went through and the representation of things that He did through His death, burial, and resurrection, that gives us power and authority and the understanding as we read Acts through the epistles. To recognize that the cross was the complete destroying of Satan's power over your life and mine. We should be living victorious lives because of the cross, because of Jesus. Do you live the life that has been gifted to you today through the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus? Do you live that life? Do you live that free, victorious, Zoe God life that he has given us? Do we live that life? Or do we still live like a condemned person that's still living under the curse? Too many people choose the cursed life. Too many people choose not to live that faith-filled, Zoe God life. That the promises of Scripture, we choose not to follow that. Do you live the life that has been gifted and given to you through Jesus Christ, who died on that cross, who went to hell in our place and took our sins, who came back and was resurrected to life, and who ascended to the right hand of Jesus, or right hand of God, sorry, and brought us victory, who speaks to God the Father on our behalf? So when we go to heaven, we're in heaven with Jesus. We've talked about that last year. We're not going there on our own merits. We are righteous with Jesus. That's what we get with the cross. So do you live that life that you've been gifted, or do you not? And if the answer is no, I can assume that there are two categories. I'm going to invite Mary up to come play the piano, because we're going to participate in communion right away. But I'm going to assume there are two categories of people. The first one is you don't know Jesus yet, or you don't know Jesus anymore. That to me is one of the reasons why you would not be living life as we've been gifted it. And there's a solution to that. And the solution to that is to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. To make a decision to cross the line and go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of God, which has every promise of Scripture available to us through Jesus, who died, rose, ascended to heaven for us. Well, Jesus died, rose, buried. I gotta get this in the right order. Died, buried, rose, ascended. That's what we should be living with the power. And if you don't know Jesus, you have an opportunity to do that. We're gonna do that here in a second. If you don't know Jesus and you don't know these blessings and you don't know the fact that you can live a free, victorious life, and you want to go from that kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, why don't you join us? It's pretty simple, isn't it? I think it is. And there's nothing super special other than every prayer we pray to Jesus is special, I think. But there's nothing, no special words I got to say. It's just, we got to just ask him to come into our hearts. It's that simple. That simple. That simple. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take time, and we're going to offer that to you if you don't know Jesus. Just to repeat this simple, simple prayer. To tell him that you need him. To tell him that I accept what you did, Jesus, on that cross, through your beating, your death, your burial, your resurrection, and your ascension to heaven. I accept that gift that you have given me and that is available for me. I want to accept that because I'm tired of being tormented by life. I'm tired of being tormented by Satan and the demons. I'm tired of being influenced negatively. I'm tired of thinking and doubting everything that I do. I'm tired of not feeling like I'm enough because you're enough. And I need to walk in the fact that you are enough, Jesus. So if you're wanting to do that today, I want to invite you to. So all you got to do is repeat this prayer after me. And if you know Jesus and you're in this room, or you're in a room somewhere and you know Jesus, I'm going to invite you and ask you just to repeat this prayer. So if somebody doesn't know Jesus, they'll feel comfortable enough to just repeat this prayer from the heart and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Can you do that with me today? Would you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place and take every punishment, every curse, and every sin that I could have ever done or have done or thought of doing. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for making me free. And Jesus, from today on, I am chasing after you. I'm running. And I'm moving forward victoriously because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning with us, let me know. I would love to give you a Bible if you don't have a Bible. If you have a Bible and you want a new Bible, I'd still love to give you a Bible. If you're watching online, contact me through the church, 306-882-2453. Email me, lead@rosetownchurch.ca. Message me on Facebook, whatever. I just want to talk to you. I want to get you connected. And I want to start talking about this Zohe life, this God life that we have been gifted, and how we can live and walk in confidence and in his righteousness. Now, I said there was two categories. I believe the second category, after the first one being you don't know him, or maybe you don't know him anymore. The second category is this, that you don't fully know what you have in this new covenant. You don't fully know and believe or understand the gift that has been given to us through the new covenant of Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension. You don't understand what Scripture has been telling us and we can read about, and we don't understand because either we haven't been spending time with the Holy Spirit to allow him to lead us, or we have just blocked ourselves off and say, well, I don't buy that junk. Whatever it is. I don't know if that's what somebody says, but for whatever reason, you haven't accepted the life and the promises and the blessings of his word. And you need to make the choice to start walking in those promises and blessings and accepting every piece of life that he has for you. And we talked very briefly about this today. But boy, what a gift we have received through Jesus. What a gift to have received his life when he was resurrected on Resurrection Sunday. What a gift to know and read what it says in his word about after he is, or just before he ascended up to heaven, he told the disciples, told the believers, you're going to do greater things than I did. Those were examples we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but that's not the benchmark. We can do so much more through the authority and the power that has been given to us through his resurrection. We need to start walking in his authority. We need to be a people that walk in the authority that Jesus has given us. We need to be a people that walk in the blessings that are promised to us in Scripture. We need to be a people who believe. We need to be a people who will rise up to more than what we are living right now, because we have so much more. That's why the only second reason I can think of for not living that life, for not taking that gift that has been given to us. Spend time reading his word. Get to know what it says. Live his word. Believe it. Believe on Jesus fully, without doubt. And since we're celebrating Easter and the resurrection of Jesus today, let's celebrate it through communion, which isn't intended to be a ritual or routine. This is something special as a remembrance. And if you haven't grabbed your communion, it's right over there by the kitchen. I'll talk for a minute if somebody has to go and get it. If I don't see anybody move, I'm moving forward. See, taking the bread, taking the cup, wasn't intended to be looking back at the past. It was a remembrance opportunity. But it's also intended for life to be released through our act of obedience. In the kingdom, physical obedience brings spiritual releases. There's always a connection as we do things, like when we raise our hands, we lift our voices. We've talked about water baptism is more than just getting wet. Communion is the same. What does the body represent? Jesus told us it represents his body. His body. His torn body. But the cool thing about representing his body is what we also know that represents, and that's the fact that by the stripes of Jesus that we are healed. That we are healed. All body, mind, spirit, we are healed because of the act that Jesus did. And because of that, we as a church make proclamations, I believe, almost every week when we gather together, when we pray together. Not just on Sundays, but on Wednesday at Bible study with Nathan. We make declarations and proclamations in our life, don't we? Do we not? I think we do. I believe we do. Maybe I've been yelling a bit too much or too fired up. I don't know. Maybe everybody's just quiet. But I think we as a church do that. And I think we need to start making more proclamations and declarations of God's goodness over our families each day. We need to be praying things and declaring healing over our lives and over each other's lives each day. Maybe you have a list of things that you think you need to proclaim and declare. Then why don't you do that? We have communion available. You can go home and take communion together with your family every day. And you can declare together and believe with your heart and believe on Jesus that it will be done, and it is done. But the point is this: Jesus made the payment for the miracle that you need in your life. Whatever that miracle is, Jesus has already made that payment. Communion's not symbolic. Communion doesn't, yes, it represents something, but we're not doing it symbolically. We're doing it because it is life. It is life. What we hold in our hand isn't a magic pill. It's not like, take two of these and call me in the morning. It's not how this works. But it's a moment of surrender when we yield our hearts to the work that Jesus has already accomplished on our behalf. I've had people ask me, Dave, you talk about healing, you speak about healing, and you say you believe in healing, and you proclaim healing, right? And I actually had somebody, and I don't even think I told Stacy this, but I actually had somebody say, "Well, I thought you said your dad was healed, and then he died a week later." You know what we talked to? We talked to doctors, because I was ticked off. Not at him, at the guy that said that, because he just doesn't understand the power and authority of Jesus, first off. But second off, I was a little annoyed with the doctors that they would release him from the hospital, because I'm like, okay, he got released from the hospital after being in the ICU and they couldn't figure out. We prayed together as a family. We prayed together here as a church for my dad to be supernaturally healed. And we talked to the doctors, the releasing doctor, his family doctor, and my brother talked to them, and they were all, the doctor that released him 6 days before dad passed away, and the family doctor were like, "I don't even know what to say." His numbers had turned around. He was healed. He was, or they wouldn't say healed, but he was better. He had made improvements. His strength was coming back into his body. I don't understand. So the things that we had prayed for, because we were very specific in our prayers, the things we had prayed for were healed. I know that my dad was healed in those areas that we had prayed for. So to the person that said that, I tried to explain that. And they can't wrap their mind around it because they don't understand faith. I asked for specific things to be healed in Jesus' name, and they were healed. Because by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And I don't say that because I was mad at the guy. I was sad for the guy. Because he didn't understand it, didn't know the power that we have and the power and authority that Jesus has given us and that Jesus has provided to each of us for our own healing. Because by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. By the stripes of Jesus, many of you have been healed. and are continually healing, literally divine health. That's what Jesus purchased with the blood, or with the body, sorry, with his bloody body. He purchased us divine health. I shared in the past, and I know I'm talking a lot about my dad when I should be talking about Jesus, but this is one of my examples I have that I can tell you. Because my dad, they diagnosed him with pancreatic cancer. We didn't accept that. And the doctors opened him up like this and this and flipped open his insides. Well, I don't know if they flipped open. You know what I'm saying, though. They cut him open. And they opened him up and they're like, oh, there's no pancreatic cancer here. Well, of course there's not, because we prayed for it not. That sentence didn't make sense. We prayed that he wouldn't have it. And when they opened him up, it wasn't there. They're like, oh, it's just a little pancreatitis and some infection. We'll close him back up. He can keep that pancreas. People die from pancreatic cancer very quickly, do they not? It's not, well, not any cancer is good, but it's not one of the bad cancers. It's really painful. It's really quick. He didn't die from pancreatic cancer, what they said he would years ago. We went to the doctor. They airlifted him in 2000. He was on life support. They said if he survives, he might get out of the ICU within a year. He was back to work in 6 months because we prayed and we believed on Jesus, because by his stripes, we are healed. Those are my examples, and I have more, but I don't want to talk about them all morning. I want you to share your examples with each other. Not right now, but that is our testimony to share of the power of Jesus and the work that he finished on the cross for us and for us. It's an inheritance we have as believers. It happened for Israel in the wilderness. People who were born again under an inferior covenant than what we have with Jesus. And I would suggest that you take communion to remember the Lord and make good confessions and declarations over your household and your family every day. Make confessions and declarations over your family as if you're prophesying, because you are. And we've talked about this, that things that come out of the word, we're prophesying over ourselves. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, Jim is healed. By the stripes of Jesus, Joe is healed. Inflamed heart, whatever it is, speak to it. Because by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And we can stand there on a legal basis for that victory because of the cross. That is ours. I like that we do some prophesying and some declarations over healing and health, over our families, over wholeness, over blessings, over prosperity, over our households, over family, church family. Each and every day, each and every week, we have an opportunity to gather and do that. It's the blood of Jesus that sets us free. That's the other part of communion. The blood of Jesus sets us free. The blood of Jesus set me free. There's no forgiveness apart from the shed blood of Jesus. This cup is a legal basis for all of that. And the blood is enough to cover every calamity in every family. And we need to be, as we do communion together, remember and declare that as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We need to declare that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed, or I was healed. So Matthew 26, 26 to 28. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Let's pray and prepare together. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice that you made for us. Thank you that by your stripes we are healed. Thank you for laying your life and your body down for us today. Thank you that we can celebrate victory because of your body, which was broke, or was beaten for us. And thank you once again that because of your stripes we are whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. And if we keep reading, it says, and when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that we have access to you. We have access to your promises. We have access to your blessings. We have access to participate in the blessings of your word, and we can declare things of your word over our lives. We thank you for the promises. I pray that each and every individual here today grabs onto your promises, grabs onto the victory that you have brought, and I pray that we live differently. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. God, we thank you for the life you've given us. God, we thank you that we have victory together with you, that we have an opportunity to take that Zoe life that you have given us, God, and I pray that each person here will run with it, that we will live out the promises of your word, and that we will declare and know that you are good and that we have righteousness because of Jesus. God, I pray that we, as we spend the rest of the day today in doing whatever we're doing, that we would just celebrate the life you've given us. God, we thank you for each person here today. We pray blessings on them and their family. We pray that they would grab onto the promises and run with them as well. Thank you, God, for them. Thank you for your hand being upon us, and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. A couple quick announcements before we go offline. We have offering at the front. You can also give it online. We have our special offering for our HVAC, our furnaces and air conditioner. If you'd like to donate separately, that goes in the Rough Rider bin. Otherwise, if you want to take some communion home, please, by all means, take some communion home. We got lots, okay? God bless. Have a great week. Okay, what we're going to do now is, the altars are open. If you need prayer for anything at all, Nathan or one of our leadership people will come and pray with you. We'd love to pray with you and just encourage you and bless you. Like I said, if you accepted Jesus today, come talk to me. I'd love to give you a Bible and just chat to you more. And if you just, maybe you have more questions, I'd love to still talk to you. A reminder, I'll tell you now and I'll tell you at the end of our singing. But we also, this week is my first week with my new company, so I'm going to be in Edmonton this week. I'll be available by phone and email or Facebook or however you want to get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me. Most of you guys don't stop by during the day anyway, but I'm available for talking if you need to talk, okay? Let's stand and let's sing a couple songs we know are true about Him.